HLA-DRB-DBQ genetics. What's that? In the past 10 years, there has been increasing research on susceptibility to fatty toxins. The medical field, mainly Dr. Shoemaker and his team, recently pinpointed the dramatic consequences of a subset of HLA-DRB-DBQ genetics, the HLA gene, regarding fatty toxins. There are many subsets of this gene, including the dreaded gene, so labeled by Shoemaker. He says people with this subset don't respond well to treatment at all. 12 years have elapsed, so I hope he's changed his thinking, because we've shown that's far from the truth. I have the dreaded gene. My dad has the dreaded gene. In fact, many of our Lyme individuals have the dreaded gene. However, our multifactorial approach indicates toxicity healing in a matter of weeks, even days, regardless of your genetic profile, and that includes methylation issues. Anyway, what does susceptibility to fatty toxins mean? People with this genetic subset cannot build antibodies to environmental/industrial toxins that are fat-soluble. In other words, their bodies cannot locate and eliminate this type of toxin from their systems, resulting in massive storage of fatty toxins, which have alarming health consequences throughout the brain and body. Although there's an increased awareness of toxins, treatment for fatty/environmental toxicity isn't widely understood. Don't worry, we get rid of them, and we'll prove it too. What is the most common fatty/environmental toxin Lyme individuals should be aware of? Mycotoxins. Mycotoxins are toxins produced by numerous types of mold species. Mycotoxins cause what's known today as mold toxicity, and let me tell you, this can be quite alarming. If you still don't believe mold can cause significant health problems, check the year for me. It's the 21st century, right? Mycotoxins are extremely dangerous and well documented. In the brain, they can destroy the blood-brain barrier, the neurons, brain cells, and the ependymal cells, cerebrospinal fluid bordering cells. In the body, they can destroy the chondrocytes, cartilage cells, and the cardiomyocytes, heart cells, inactivate DNA-RNA synthesis, and completely shut down our immunity, to name just a few disruptions. I go into the detrimental effects of myotoxins in much more detail in Section 4 if you're curious about more documented research. I know many are skeptical of mold toxicity, but it can occur, and it can be quite damaging. Some argue airborne toxin exposure is unlikely, and our exposure is mainly from foods. I will show that both are possible, but airborne seems to be more damaging and more common. What I can tell you is that we make sure to test your home as part of our procedure to pinpoint where the toxicity is coming from, if there happens to be any. I can also say that we never hang our hat on one value from one system. One issue is never the cause of all your symptoms, and although mold can be damaging, it's not an exception. It plays a different role in each individual. I know even some argue about the validity of testing for mycotoxins in the first place, but when our individuals have positive results, their homes are also positive for mold. Moreover, the homes are remediated properly, and our treatment shows the removal of these toxins. Removal of these toxins is a necessary step, but not the only step, in achieving long-term healing. It's okay to be skeptical, but toxicity from mold should never be ignored, especially when it comes to Lyme and many other chronic diseases. Other research points to various environmental toxins that are just as dangerous as mycotoxins. However, the most common and abundant toxins that individuals encounter are mycotoxins. The National Institutes of Health, NIH, estimates that between 30 and 50% of homes have poor air quality due to mold. Studies show we spend up to 90% of our time indoors, hence my emphasis on mold toxicity. If we were building fires indoors, I'd be talking about benzene. If we were painting our homes every other day, I'd be talking about choline. The bottom line is we don't do these things. Thus, the most common toxins Lyme individuals should be aware of are mycotoxins. But it doesn't stop there, because coupled with HLA gene, all fatty/environmental/industrial toxins are readily stored in the body. Not just mycotoxins. This means that pesticides, food preservatives, industrial toxins, and many more pose a much greater threat to Lyme individuals than to ordinary people. So, do you still think you just have Lyme? To summarize, if you have the HLA gene, you have a massive susceptibility to fatty toxins. Our research shows that more than 93% of our individuals with Lyme have the HLA gene. So, do you still think you have just Lyme? With the HLA gene, not only are breathable toxins, like industrial toxins, pesticides, etc., extremely dangerous, but the food you eat every day is suspect. There's an obvious debate about organic, non-GMO food versus conventional food, and I've probably used up my controversial comments for this book, so I'll save that argument for another day. However, what you can't argue with is documented research on the damage pesticides, environmental/industrial toxins, cause to your brain and body. To add to the insult, chronic Lyme individuals often have the HLA gene, which means consuming pesticides poses a much greater threat to them than to individuals without the HLA gene. Anyway, I keep talking about fatty toxins, and so some of you may wonder what they are. What are some common fatty toxins? Environmental toxins, mold toxins, mycotoxins, both breathable and ingestible. Breathable is worse. Industrial and environmental toxins, benzene and benzene derivatives, toluene, and more. Industrial toxins, plastics, PVC, pesticides, preservatives. What does all this mean? People with the HLA gene can't build antibodies to fatty toxins and many environmental/industrial toxins, making it extremely difficult for them to eliminate these toxins from their systems. Toxins are readily stored, especially in areas that contain fat, fat cells, the brain, the myelin sheath, cell membranes, and begin to shut down the body's immune cells, including white blood cells, cytokines, immune signalers, and natural killer cells, almost immediately. This has alarming health consequences throughout an individual's brain and body. After the immune system begins to shut down from fatty toxins, it allows the free entry and development of infections such as Lyme disease, Babesia, and Bartonella, as well as other infectious pathogens. To summarize, if you have Lyme, you probably have toxicity, whether environmental, industrial, or all of the above. If you have toxicity, your immune system is easily compromised and will not heal if you don't eliminate the toxins.